Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big... What is it? Oh, the big show on... The big special A to Z show. In the city... Oh, gosh, you know, it's been so long since I've done a regular show that I've forgotten the formatting of this open. A pleasure to have you here for the big A to Z special show from the Dave in the City studios in more or less locked down Southern California. But we are certainly not without fun here, here in the city, for which the streets are pretty much empty. But we at the moment are pretty safe, and I'm happy to report that. You know, more coronavirus cases coming by the day. Not a surprise. But the key here is just to stay, well, I guess it is true, to stay away from people, stay home, do the work you got to do from home. I was issued that assignment today. I will be working from home for my regular job for the foreseeable future, and we're going to make the most of it. You know, we can still do lectures, we can do talks, all online. We have things like Zoom, we have GoToMeeting, we have a lot of ways to do it. So it's... You know, I keep saying this to myself, like, it's not the end of the world, but you see some people in the Twitter and whatever, and they keep thinking it is, and honestly, I think it's, we will help ourselves by these actions. I think this is the way to go, and you know, give it time, and I think we can make some progress on this virus. I mean, it happens. We have so many people in this country now. Did you think that there would be no viruses for the rest of our lives? I think that's a little silly. So this is the biggest one in a while, and just rooting for the best. That's the best I can do, and we certainly can do things to minimize the effects and the impact. Before we start, I want to thank all of you guys for your response to the A to Z Anthology series concept. I've heard from so many people about it. A lot of praise for the idea, and I really want to thank you for that. I'm glad that you guys enjoy the idea of doing an anthology series. I'm thankful for your listenership, too. And if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, we hope you are enjoying it. And just to give you a synopsis of what the show is about, it is about sports normally, but it isn't really that hardcore of a sports show necessarily. We do it in a way that we want to put some fun and put some twists into it. Yeah, we do some shows where we're really nuts and boltsy, but there are a lot of shows we don't. Like, we did an Oscar show. We did a Seinfeld show one time. We did a lot of different kind of shows. And that's ultimately the goal of this show, is to entertain. And if I'm getting the sense from people who've responded to me that I'm entertaining... and help in doing something cool for the next few weeks as we hunker down in our homes, that makes me feel really good on the inside, and I'm really happy to help you guys out. So thank you. I can't thank you enough for your positive responses, and I'm glad that the concept is really taken off with people. So my request, beyond all of what that's already happened, is merely to tell a friend about this program, and if you can, leave a review on Apple Podcasts app. It's very easy. You just go to the app. You look for the podcast, Dave in the City Out West. And as you subscribe, I hope you can subscribe too, you can also leave a review of the program and then allocate the appropriate number of stars. And ideally it's 5, but if it's less than 5, we won't take it personally. So we thank you for that. Tell your friends, spread the word, let the people know about A to Z. You don't have to enjoy sports to enjoy this series. And we begin with another topic. And we are up to the letter B. This week, well, this episode, we talk about baseball on hiatus. And doing so with the baseball who could we talk to other than the guy that's plugged into baseball more than anyone else I know other than Ari in Philadelphia? And he would be his sidekick on the baseball shows. Jerry from Piscataway, who you may know as Jerry Will on his new podcast, the LGY Pod. What's up, Jerry?
Dave, what's going on, man? Thanks for the pop. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry. Thank you for waiting out that long intro. It's been very interesting to hear you on the other end of this. Like, how do you feel doing these podcasts? What few you've done so far?
It's been a lot of fun. I've, I'm kind of learning my way through it. I figure that my first show is going to sound a lot different than my 20th show, but it's been a lot of fun, man. I get I get excited when, right now I was doing it once a week, and then when the season was going to start, I was going to do it too. So I would get excited on recording day to get everything, all my notes ready, get everything, ready to talk about. And, unfortunately with what's going on, it's kind of taken the material and kind of the wind out of my sails for the show. But it's been great, man. I've had so many ideas moving forward. I've had so many people be very positive, and obviously, in social media, there's so much negative, but everyone's given me pretty, pretty good feedback, and they've been really positive, really nice. I had my first guest on last week, went really good. And just hopefully, we can kind of keep the momentum going while baseball's down a little bit. But it's been a lot of fun. And, I've taken a lot of, I've been on this podcast a lot. So you walking me through things and helping me through things to get it started is greatly appreciated. You didn't have to take the time to do that, but you did, and I appreciate that. And I've been taking like little notes from you, how you phrase things, your cadence, things like that. So take it from you, take it from other podcasts I listen to. So it's been a lot of fun. I just hope I can keep it going during this down period.
Well, I'm glad to help. Thank you very much for the kind words. It's we're all a part of a community, so I'm happy to chip in wherever I can. So it's a good time. Now let me ask you this before we continue any further. Do you get nervous when you start recording during a show? Like, does that hit you when you're recording for the first, at least like these first few weeks, like on your own?
So I'll tell you a story. My first show, it took me 2 days to record. I couldn't get through, Dave, I couldn't get through the intro. I was there for an hour and a half. I couldn't get through the intro without messing up or, not wording something right. And, my first show, it took me, like I said, I wanted to release it on a Tuesday. I ended up releasing it on Thursday. It took me two times after work to really get the show, down. And it was, it was a lot of work to get to that point, because I was, pausing and getting my thoughts together. And then I listened back, and you can tell when I was pausing. So I had to scrap that show. Then I had to just go for it. And if I made some little mistakes, I made some little mistakes. But yeah, I would, my first show, my first two shows, probably there were some nerves there. And then, once I was able to get somebody else in the mix, that show was a lot easier than the solo shows. But I think in the future, the solo shows will be fine too. It's always good when you have somebody to kind of bounce some things off of and give you some feedback. But yeah, early on it was very difficult. And I was like, I remember I texted you and I was like, I give you so much props because it's taken me an hour. Dave, I'm not lying to you, to get through the intro. Like, I had a whole intro, planned out and explaining, myself and how I want to do the show that lasted maybe 3-4 minutes. And I couldn't get through it for like an hour. It was insane.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It, what I do now is the byproduct of maybe as many as 15 years of practice. 15 years. Because when I was interning at KCLU, a public radio station, I would practice doing radio just for fun. And I remember one time I was like preparing a monologue, pretending to be doing the local like public affairs talk show. And I was like, all right, I got all this stuff. And I was like reading all this stuff. And I was like, that was only 2 minutes. I can't.
Yeah.
I was like, that was it. So yeah, it definitely takes some time to kind of get the feel for that. But ultimately, what you want to do is what you did in the penultimate episode, where you got someone else to join in and be another voice. And your friend Frank was very good as well. And it was very interesting to hear the two of you talking about all the different scenarios, injuries, mostly injuries, I think, right now.
mostly injuries. Well, and I got that, I had this idea, because obviously I've been very – active in the Yankee Twitter world over the past couple of years. And I would, sit down, watch the game. I'd live tweet games. I'd debate with people, whether it's game days, off days, off season, whatever. And I just said, you know, it's not a lot of work, but it's getting to be difficult to really, because you deal with some people on Twitter who just are either arrogant and think they know what they're talking about, what they don't. And it got difficult to really get my point across on Twitter. So I said, I would like to bring that to, a podcast. And, you know, I was debating whether I could find a permanent host. You know, I had some people of mine that I could do it with. And I said, you know, the way you do your show, Dave, is you bring multiple different personalities on, mm-hmm. which I think is cool. And people have different perspectives. They have different ideas, different thought patterns. My show will never be a call-in radio show where we sit there for an hour and just take calls. You know, maybe in the future I would like to hopefully get big enough where people send enough, you know, DMs and feedback that I can respond to them on the air. But, having different people in for different segments, different thought processes, different debates, I thought would be, you know, kind of a good concept, because it almost is like you're, you know, tweeting with somebody if you're going back and forth. And on this, the podcast platform, you're able to, you know, explain more and get a little bit more in depth. So that was my idea. And it was, you know, once I was thinking about it and I said, well, Dave does that to a point. And, I thought that, you know, it would be a really good idea. So took a little bit from your show.
So how many potential guests do you see from the people you interact with on your Yankee Twitter?
A good amount. I've had, you know, once I started, I got a lot of feedback, mm-hmm. you know, because I put it out there that I wanted people to contribute and wanted people to come on. And whether it's, you know, there's a lot of hot button topics when it comes to the Yankees. Say, for example, Gary Sanchez being one, you know, I think, you know, people, Yankee Twitter is extremely unfair to him. So if there's a guy on there that's, you know, really leaning the other way, I would say, hey, come on the show and debate it with me. You know what I mean? So I put that out there, and I've gotten a lot of DMs, a lot of feedback from people that say, hey, you know, whenever you want, I'd like to be on the show. I'd like to be on the show. So right now I'd say I have about, I don't know, 6 or 7 people that I think I could put on the show at, you know, I don't want to say any given week. Obviously, I got to give them some notice. But I got 6 or 7 people that are, you know, have reached out to me and said that they want to be on the show. I'm hoping that grows. You know, it's with this whole thing that's going on, I had so much content in my head ready to do for the Yankees, you know, because, you know, I was going to opening day in Baltimore, going to opening day in New York.
Not anymore.
So I had like live videos. I had, you know, things I was going to get and do for giveaways and kind of trivia. And I have, you know, a close friend of mine is in nightlife. And I've even talked to him about doing potential watch parties late, you know, big games or whatever, where they would host, you know, an LGY crew where you get like a wristband and you get discounted drinks and stuff like that. So, and it's, you know, some of the more popular bars in North Jersey. So I was talking to him about that, and he was like, yeah, he's like, you know, if you're able to get, you know, a good following, and he's like, if you're able to bring even, you know, 15, 20 people into a bar, he's like, my owner will never, you know, turn that down. That'd be great. So, wow. You know, I really had a lot of ideas, mm-hmm. Moving forward, and this whole thing just derailed it. So I'm hoping that at some point, I don't even know if it's going to be this year, Dave. I feel like if they do a truncated season, like 100 games, I don't know, maybe people will get, you know, really into it, but I don't know. It will just have a different feel. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah. But that's a very good point. You know, let's go back to baseball for a second. It's a very interesting scenario for baseball because their season hasn't started yet. So they're in a little bit easier position than the NBA or the NHL would be because they're so close to the season ending. They're this close to starting the playoffs. That's a tough break for all of them. But baseball hasn't started, so there's a lot of flexibility in how they can assess the start of the season whenever it is.
I'd rather be the NBA right now where I would play my – what do they play? 78 games already, 79 games already. So say, you know, baseball season, we had 159 games into the season and then there was a break, but they said, hey, we will come back and play the playoffs. I'd rather that than, you know, kind of what I think is going to happen here where we might, I mean, if the reports are true, this thing could go until, you know, June, July, whatever it is. And if we're having the opening day July 1st, you have July, you have August, and you have September, you have 3 months of baseball, and then pretty much if it depends on how far you want to do with the play, it's going to be a truncated season. It's going to feel very different. Now, granted, I'm sure the NBA will feel different as well, but at least in the NBA, you've gotten, you know, 95% of your regular season in, and then you're going to have, you know, a normal, what should be a normal playoff run. I don't know if they're going to, you know, do anything different depending on how long this takes, but yeah, it's going to be a different feel. And right now, which is, I don't know how you guys feel about it or you feel about it, Dave, but it's been surreal. Like, at this point, at any other year, it's, you know, about to be St. Patrick's Day. I, you know, opening day would be in 2 weeks, and I would be, you know, bouncing off the walls with excitement. And I'm just like shell shocked. Like, I just don't even know where to go from here. And the thought that I could potentially not have baseball for a whole year and that I have to wait a whole nother winter, a whole nother Christmas holiday, a whole nother summer for baseball again. And the lasting memory I have of my baseball team is getting walked off on the ALCS. It's, I can't even tell you how much that would just crush me. I mean, I feel like this offseason lasted forever as it is. I couldn't imagine having to wait another season to watch baseball. And on top of that, we signed one of the best pitchers in all of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, we had a team that's supposed to be a World Series contender. And you too, as a Dodger fan, you guys,
yeah,
So what happens if the season gets canceled? Is Mookie Betts a free agent?
Oh, that's a great question.
Does Mookie Betts never play a game? And if that's the case, the Red Sox made off like bandits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. You know what? If they don't play a game this entire season, wow. Well, I mean, that's the chance you take, right? When you do a trade,
I guess.
That's the
I
chance
guess.
You take.
You're but you never would expect that. But, I mean, you and I are talking right now, worst case scenario. There is a lot. I mean, right now it's, what, March 16th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much that can go on between March and even May 1st.
Yes.
You know, I've heard today, you know, I don't know if it's people pressing the panic button or what, but they're like, you know, we might not have baseball until July. Do you realize how many weeks are from now until, you know, May 1st or even now until June 1st? Like, I think if we're able to somehow, like, I think San Francisco is doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually a lot of the bigger cities, like, what pissed me off today, Dave, is I'm looking at videos of Florida. And the beaches are full. The oceans are full. It's just crazy. And I think eventually it's going to come down to people having to stay the fuck inside and not spread this thing. And I don't know how long that's going to take. But, I mean, there's a lot of weeks between now and May 1st or Memorial Day or June 1st. I mean, if we let this thing run, I'm hoping that obviously everybody's doing their best effort to try and get ahead of this thing or they're working on a vaccine. I'm hoping that even within the next 8 weeks, I'd hope, you know, in the middle of May, like May 9th or 10th, I'm hoping that things are drastically different for the better. You know, I don't want to look and say, oh, opening day will be in July, and if we blow past that, baseball is going to be canceled. I still think that if they're able, there's a lot of weeks left. I mean, even until the end of April, there's, you know, almost 8 weeks left or whatever it is. So, 7 or 8 weeks, I would like to think that things will get better. I mean, if we're in the same position we are today or even worse in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, it's a real problem.
Yeah. Let me bring up a couple of scenarios. Number one, China's already getting better, and that's a good sign. Though, the method for which they did it is a method we cannot implement. Like, I think we talked about that in the last podcast with Junkie. Like, we can't, it's just not going to happen. We're not going to have soldiers at every block. It's not possible. But the thing about it that you have to think about is that everything we've been through has been over a period of less than 7 days.
You're right.
It started Wednesday at night when Rudy Gobert got tested for coronavirus in the middle of a game. They had to cancel the game, basically, and then he got tested, and he got tested positively for coronavirus. Since that time, it's been very chaotic, right? But that's only been a period of 6 days. Not even six. It's 5 days because it's Monday right now as we record this. It'll be Tuesday when you listen to this. But still, that's really interesting. That is really, really interesting. I don't know when I'm going to publish. Sorry. But still, that's only a period of 6 days. We went from pretty much everything being normal. You know, we were all being told to wash our hands and everything, which is correct. They're warning about maybe they play games without fans. And we've gone from that to, like, major cities in lockdown mode, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's, know, part of that is what bothers me is I think that when this thing first started happening, you saw what happened in China with it, how quick it was to spread.
Right.
You saw what happened in Italy, how quick it was to spread.
Right, right.
And you have, you know, the people who are supposed to be, you know, responsible for this country basically stating, you know, it's okay, we'll be fine, it's going away. And there was no...
I hated that.
There was no, yeah, there was no, like, urgency.
Right, right.
And I think that if they were able to, you know, get ahead of this, or if they went about it, you know, with more, like I said, more urgency, I think we could be in a better place 100%. Today. And like you said, this all happened, you know, in a matter of almost 7 days, like the chaos, you know what I mean? And I think, like I said, I think some of that has to do with who was in charge, because this... it's been here for a little while. You know, it hasn't just come here in the past 7 days. The coronavirus has been here, you know, for a little bit. And, you know, if the experts are telling you that this thing could spread like wildfire, and you saw what happened in Italy, you saw what happened in China, I think that we could have taken it a little bit more serious. I think, you know, maybe people were hoping that it would blow over or it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it is. And, you know, it is... it is really interesting what you said. You know, it really has been. And from like last Wednesday, when they were talking about, you know, playing like the March Madness with no fans, I was like, oh, that's criminal. That's asinine. You can't play with no fans. Just wait a couple weeks and postpone it. Now, I'd be dying for them to play with no fans. You know what I mean? I would love to see sports. Now it's like, it's almost crazy to think that any sport would play right now. That's in a matter of a week. So it's like, it's just crazy how things have changed in such a short period of time. What I'm hoping is that if, you know, cities and mayors and, you know, the president takes a proactive stance, mm-hmm. which is starting to happen now.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, you guys can't be congregating. You guys can't be outside. That will hopefully allow this thing to be contained a little bit and we'll be able to get better. Also, I'm very in tune about what happened in China, what's going on in China, because my boss is stuck there. Mm-hmm. And he's been giving me updates for months. I mean, him and I went on a trip together right before the Chinese New Year. I believe it was in the maybe beginning of February. And I think it was beginning of February. And he hasn't been back since, and he can't come back. So, I mean, he's told me what they've done there. Obviously, they were on lockdown, which they're doing in San Francisco. And no matter where you go, even today, no matter where you go, they're taking your temperature. They're recording it. And like when he goes into his office in Beijing, there's somebody at the door that takes his temperature, takes his name, records it. And every day they do that. And he said for the past couple of days, it's been zero cases in Beijing. He said Wuhan still has, you know, maybe one or two new cases a day, mm-hmm. but they're able to contain that. But in Beijing, there has been, you know, zero new cases for the past couple of days, which is great. So he's been working business as usual mm-hmm. for the past, I don't know, week or so. So, you know, my point is we're not doing any of that. And we're just thinking this thing's going to blow over. And now finally, you know, here in New Jersey, they were like, now this is what I don't get, Dave. And maybe you could shine some light on it. But over the weekend, they came out with a missive, you know, around here in New Jersey and basically said, we're going to close all bars and restaurants at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize that the virus only came out after 10 p.m. You know, if you have 80 people in a movie theater, 80 people in a bar at noon, you know what I mean?
That's an awesome point, man.
Right? I never understood that.
I know.
I never understood the curfew. Like, I don't get it. Like, if the streets are filled and people are at the lunch crowds there, you got 50 people in a restaurant at noon or 2 o'clock or someone's at or a bar is filled until, you know, 8, 9 o'clock after dinner. I mean, you're still spreading it. You know what I mean?
It's, absolutely.
The point is you can't have people gathering, and I'm guessing that they got to that point after the weekend, after they saw, dude, I'm telling you, I looked at my social media. Bars had lines to get in because of St. Patrick's Day. Everything was packed. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, our numbers are going to jump. What happened? Today we had 90 new cases. Today alone, 90 new cases.
Wait, is this in New Jersey?
In New Jersey. 90 new cases in New Jersey alone today. So it's like, you know, be smart about it. And listen, if we need to go into some kind of a quarantine for, you know, a month or 3 weeks or whatever it is, so be it. It's better than having this drag out until, you know, August.
There's no question about it. I think you've broke that down really great. And I'll be honest, I was at a party too, but it wasn't that big a party. It was a party of about 25 people at my aunt's house. And, you know, I'd be honest, like, as I was going to it, I was feeling a little uneasy. I mean, I was like, man, is this a good idea? Like, are we going to make this thing worse by doing this? It didn't look like anybody was sick over there, but you still had that thought in the back of your head. We had a good time. Like, it was a really fun party, but, dude, you should have seen, like, people were shaking hands and they were hugging each other. Like, oh my gosh. It's like,
It's crazy.
You can't make it up. It's like, and did you see that, like, Mexico had their music festival on Saturday or something?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are they doing? I just, like,
I don't know. It's like a global thing that people should really, really take serious. Because you look, like you said, you know, this has been here for a little while,
right?
But it really ramped up over the past week. You know, if people should see that and be like, all right, even if we have a couple cases in our country, we need to take that serious.
Yeah.
Like, we did not take it serious. We didn't have testing ready.
No,
we didn't have a terrible job.
Poorly
we did
produced,
not take it serious,
as we would say. Yeah,
big time. You know,
there's no excuse for that. We had the money.
None. We had the money, of course. Somebody was just a little bit too preoccupied with other things and his own reelection,
100%.
And you know that it really wasn't a priority at the time. And Dave, you know me, I'm not a politic guy. I don't have a side. I'm not a left, right, whatever. I'll call it like I see it. Like, obviously in my business, I was happy with the market and the way things are going. So I was happy. But if you know, who's ever in charge, you know, needs to be called out. Like, that's what I understand about politics is, like, somebody will blindly follow somebody or blindly support somebody when they are clearly wrong. And right. I just don't understand how, like, that's like me, you telling me, hey, Jared, Aaron Judge is injury prone. And I fight you to the death that he's not. And it's like, I don't understand, like, why can't somebody on the other side just say, yeah, you're right, he's doing a bad job here. I don't understand it. Like,
it's a very fair point. It's a very fair point. And I think we've seen it on both sides too.
Like, of course, yes, both sides do it. Both sides do it, absolutely. But what I was, the point I was getting at is, you know, I don't, you know, if anybody listens to this and don't know me, I'm not I don't have a side. You know, I don't support strongly either way. I whatever I feel is right, that's what I'm supporting. And you know, I've liked things about, you know, this administration business wise, but this was handled terribly, terribly. I mean, you couldn't have handled it worse, especially for a country like the USA. Dave, he went on his podium and basically said, we're fine. It will go away. It's going away.
Yeah,
and now
that
here
was
we
worse.
Are.
That, this,
and now here we are.
Yeah, there it is. And I think a lot of people at the time, like, that he made that first point, expected this kind of an outcome. And so now we just got to clean up the mess. So it's a bit of a mess. But I can give credit to the governors of various states for taking action. Many have. A lot of them got way ahead of it. Ohio's got way the hell ahead of it.
Yep.
And then California's on their way, and New York is sort of on their way. New York's got their own mess. New Rochelle is just an absolute disaster. But we can learn the lessons from other people in other countries, specifically Italy, and hopefully we are on the path to doing the right thing here. So, Jared, I'm honestly in the same boat with you. Like, this is pretty much what we've got to do. And it's not that big a... I guess in the end, what I think... Because there are people who are complaining about how the government shouldn't tell me what to do. But this is just common sense. Like, this is not as big a deal as it sounds. Like, it's going to be tough, absolutely. I don't think you would argue that, and I wouldn't argue it. But we're safe. And I think that's ultimately what it's about. And hopefully it stays that way.
I agree. I've taken this serious, you know, the past, you know, once, you know, it's hard when you're obviously getting your cues from, you know, the media or, you know, whoever's in charge. So when nobody really took it serious, it was hard for me to really think that something like this could happen. You know, I actually texted my friend last week because I was going to Baltimore with him, and I was like, hey, you know, we might have a problem here. They might, you know, push back opening day, or they might play with no fans. Now I'll be happy to have opening day, you know, May 1st. You know what I mean? So, you know, for me, I didn't realize the severity of it. And once I did, I took it very serious. You know, I've talked to my family. I've talked to friends I've quarantined, you know, myself pretty much. I've, mm-hmm. you know, I've been taking my temperature like 2-3 times a day.
Oh, wow. Paranoid. You take the temperature?
Oh, yeah,
wow.
Dude. I'm paranoid about this shit because, you know, I was, you know, my whole, which I was surprised about today. I had to stop in my office to get some, you know, I'm working from home for the, you know, the foreseeable future.
Yep.
But I had to get some items from my office to, you know, basically bring home and stuff like that. And my building was full, which I was very surprised about. So, you know, I've been interfacing with people for the, you know, past couple weeks without even thinking, you know, that this thing could be like this. Like how you went to your party or whatever, you know, I was doing the same kind of thing. So once it started spreading rapidly, I'm like, damn, you know, listen, if I get it, I don't have an issue with it because I can get past it, but I don't want to give it to somebody else who can't. And that's my biggest fear, whether it's my parents or somebody else's parents or somebody I just passed by in a grocery store. I don't want to do that. So I've been very paranoid. I've been taking my temperature. I've been, you know, checking myself out. And thankfully, there hasn't been any issues yet. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, like you said, you know, stay safe and, you know, I'll stay in quarantine for however long it takes. You know, yeah. The more people take that kind of approach, the more we'll get past this thing. So,
well, I love,
you know,
it.
We'll see what happens.
I love it. That's a great attitude. And if most of the country adopts your attitude, I think we're going to get through this thing just fine. And
yeah,
let's just hope for the best. So,
and you know what, Dave? I think not to beat it to death. I think influencers need to do a better job as well.
Yeah.
Rather than putting your political thoughts out there, tell people to say, like, for example, the guy from Barstool, he, you know, all these kids from college and all these, you know, younger guys, they think he's so cool and they, you know, they, whatever he does and whatever he says and Barstool does, they take, you know, with Bible. And early on, Dave Portnoy was mocking this, saying that it's a joke. It's
wow.
just a flu. It's media driven, saying all his events will go on. It's not going to stop for some pussy flu. And his minions all took heed to that and they just went out and party. They went to spring break. They didn't take it serious. And they're probably the ones that are spreading this thing. And, you know, you saw what happened to Tom Hanks. He has it. So if like athletes or like I see on Twitter, and mostly what they're all doing is they're all slinging shit at each other over politics. Why don't you push that aside and try to influence the public on how and to do this the right way, because people listen to them. You know, if Dave Portnoy came out a couple weeks ago and said, hey guys, you know, this is serious, it's spreading, look at Italy, we don't want to deal with that, you know, no party, stay inside, do this or that, maybe somebody would have acted different. Maybe a couple, even if it's a handful of people, maybe they don't spread it to somebody else. I don't know. But I think that people who have an influence should really, you know, should really voice their opinion rather than just, you know, make everything about politics.
I think that's completely fair. I think that's a great call on that. And this is part of why I haven't even been on Twitter for the last, now it feels like 3 weeks. It's just been a mess, you know? But just to go back to another point, it's very interesting how quickly the urgency escalated. Think about only about a week and a half ago. We felt like we were pretty much normal. I went to a hockey game, which maybe that was a bad decision on my part in retrospect. Because that 17,000 people in a hockey game, maybe that was a bad call. But, you know, we've learned from this moment, and now we're taking action, and things are good. Or getting better. I don't know about they're good, but they're they're getting better. Now, let me ask you, but the thing of that is immediately coming to my mind with respect to what our response to coronavirus is the many different things shutting down more by the day. But gyms, just the other day, the gyms shut down. And I imagine that's the case where you are. How are you adapting to the gym shutdown?
I know a lot of people are having a real difficult time with it. I'm very fortunate. In my building, I have like a smaller gym with like some treadmills and some weights that has not shut down. And normally I wouldn't use it, but this gym is rarely used. Like there are times in like I would say 80% of the time I'm the only person in there. And if somebody else is in there, it's one other person. So I haven't really gotten worried about using that gym yet. I mean, there really hasn't, you know, I go in there, Dave, and the lights are off and the TVs are off. So I like go in there, turn the lights on, turn the TVs on and do what I have to do. It's like having my own personal gym because a lot of in my development are, you know, some older people, some younger people. So they're joined to their gym. Now, maybe they'll start using this gym. I'm not sure. But I started using my apartment gym for like a week now. And it's been, you know, it's been perfect. Now, a lot of people are having difficulty adapting. You know, they're trying to, whether it's run around the block or, you know, trying to do, you know, whatever exercise wise. I'm fortunate where I do have what is kind of semi a personal gym. Yes, other people do use it, but it really isn't that many. And I go in there, believe me, I disinfect everything. I wipe everything down. I wash my hands after pretty much almost every set. So, I mean, right now I'm not uncomfortable using it, but if it starts to get heavy usage because other gyms have shut down and the people here start going there, then I'll probably take a little break. And that will be very difficult because I feel like shit when I don't go to the gym. You know, whether, you know, today I did my, you know, 2 mile warm up, I did some chest, some push ups, stuff like that. So I feel good after I do that. If I can't do that for like 3 weeks, it's going to be miserable. And I just went grocery shopping and I spent a ton of money on pretty much all junk food. So, it's going to be difficult to pass the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is a challenge for sure. I have to figure out how I'm going to get any exercise. It's my gym is shut down too. You know, the one on campus at UCLA. So I have a challenge. I don't know what to do. I'm probably going to run outside until I can't do that anymore. I don't know. I think this pool's got shut down too. Like even the local pools around here. Like beyond just the ones on campus, there's like other ones that are nearby. I'm pretty sure the pool is shut down altogether. So that's its own kind of, that is its own challenge. Because if there was a pool, if like, for example, Santa Monica College pool was around, I could probably get by with that. But they were, I don't know, just from your sense of fitness and exercise and hygiene, do you think a pool would be safe right now? Do you think it would be safe to swim in a pool or is that chancing it?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I don't know
how
this thing is passed, if, you know, water or whatever. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I would probably avoid it just because, you know, I want to get this period over with as soon as possible. It's funny. They were living through a chapter in a history book. This is going to be talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably going to be movies about it.
Yep.
There's probably going to be there will be documentaries about it. Obviously in the sports world, I mean, it was surreal. I went over it on my podcast. I did a very brief kind of state of the union on where the show stands and things like that. But I, you know, you mentioned the Jazz game. I come home, I'm eating dinner. I put on NBA TV and I see the refs huddled around the scores table. And, you know, they say, oh, the game's delayed. Then I'm reading on Twitter, it's delayed because Gobert's sick. And a couple minutes later, you know, Gobert test positive. And then a couple of minutes later, the NBA suspends their season. And a couple of minutes later, this happens. And it was just so surreal sports-wise. And then, you know, NHL followed suit. And then obviously MLB. And it's just, this is something that's going to be talked about for a very, very long time. So we're living in surreal times right now.
Yeah,
you know, we've experienced 9/11. Yep. And now we're experiencing this. And this is, it's surreal, man. I never did you think, you see those movies like Outbreak and all that stuff. Never did you think you'd live it. And right now we really are.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe the virus itself is not quite as dangerous as, say, Ebola. But still, what's frightening about it is the rate at which it spreads. And it's pretty clear it's something we've never really seen before in our lifetimes. And so you'd have to go back to like ancient history to really come up with a comparison, you know, the Spanish flu, things like that. And it's crazy. Junkie and I were talking about the sports shutdown yesterday, and we really did think that. We also agree with you. We thought that was surreal. We never experienced anything quite like it. We thought, okay, they're going to play games with no fans. And then there was, we're done. Every conference slowly started to shut down their conference tournament the next day. And it wasn't immediate. Like, it took a while. Like,
it
was, like, some conferences, like ACC and Big Ten.
Because you know how much money is involved in that. So it really had to be something big to make them basically cancel it. You know what I mean? Because the March Madness tournament is such a moneymaker for all those schools, you know?
Yeah.
And that was that really took me by surprise. You know, I figured they would try and, because at the time, like I said, I didn't know or think it would get to the point we're at now where we might not have any sports until July. But when they, you know, did that, I said, damn, why wouldn't they just push it back? Then you start to think of kids and draft eligibility and things like that. So that was when they canceled the big tournament. Like, I never saw that coming. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speak to what caused them to go that far. I thought maybe they'd still play it with the without the fans, but that's just how serious the Rudy Gobert scenario was. It was such a big thing. It had a really dramatic and indelible effect on sports because it was an active player in the middle of a game, pulling out of a game because he was sick. Yeah. And Rudy Gobert's negligence in the middle of that really exacerbated the situation. I think if he had been more careful, if he had taken things more seriously, maybe we wouldn't be here, but I think we still would, but just not as quickly. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree. I think him getting it really opened up a lot of eyes and basically said, we can't do this. We can't, whether it was the NBA or the NCAA, basically said, we can't do this, because you saw what the fallout was. You know, Donovan Mitchell got it, and then one of the guys that was guarding Gobert, I think from Detroit maybe it was, he got it, and you know, you were worried that it would, you know, have this wild spread. So yeah, that was a crazy night that I don't think I'll forget, because you watched it in real time. You watched Mark Cuban get the tweet on his phone and his reaction. Like, you saw everything happen in real time. And yeah, it's going to be something talked about for a very, very long time in documentaries and all that stuff. I'm hoping I'm not taking up your C category, if C is coronavirus. Talking mostly about that.
C will not be coronavirus. That'd be redundant anyway. So no, that's okay. No worries on that. But that moment is a moment that you'll remember where you were when it happened.
Absolutely.
And what I was doing at the time is I was texting with Santoro and Beeps about it. That all went down in real time. We were all texting in the middle of the scenario, and it was crazy. And then, like, Beeps came out with the text, "See ya, sports," and I'm like, wow. And he was right. Everything 100%. Shut down. Everything shut 100%. Down.
And I asked him, like, last week, and I was like, do you think that we're headed for a lockdown? He said, yeah. He said, I really think we're. And I'm like, he usually is good with his stuff. So I'm like, damn, I hope he's not right. But now I can't see a world where we don't have some kind of a lockdown. We're pretty much in a lockdown right now here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that all the major cities should go the way of San Francisco. I really do. I really think that, you know, 3 weeks, you know, in quarantine will slow this down. You'll get less cases every day. You'll be able to treat, you know, whoever does have it, and you know, then you're looking into April, you're kind of on the upswing, and maybe you'll be able to get back to normal scene sometime in May. But I think that we're headed for that, because what I've seen from, you know, dude, over the weekend, New Orleans, Bourbon Street was shoulder to shoulder. Nashville, every bar was packed, and it's just like, and finally I saw police cars driving down Bourbon Street yesterday with the megaphone, basically telling everybody to get, you know, get off the streets. They're putting people's health at risk, and they closed down the bars in Nashville. But the beaches in Florida are still open. They need to change that, because a lot of people in Florida also are vacationers. Yeah. So, you know, what are they going to go to Florida, you know, catch it or spread it, and then come back, you know, to a different state and cause chaos? I mean, they need to go the way of San Francisco. I really do. And I think that, you know, it's going to hurt obviously economy and everything like that, but would you rather be out of a week, be at a job work for 3 weeks, or be out of work for 3 months?
Right. It's a great question. I think if the sooner we get involved with these kind of drastic measures, the easier it will be for everybody else long term. Like, you think, oh, we're going to lose all this money by doing this, but you'll lose way more if we don't act.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And you can't, you know, you can't come back premature, because it's going to create the same problem. It's going to keep spreading. Now, I don't know, you know, how true it is with the, you know, weather, you know, dissipating it or killing it. I have no idea, but you don't want to wait until it gets 90 degrees, because then you'd be waiting until June. So they need to do something now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thankful that some communities are acting, and hopefully more follows suit. And it does seem to operate in a chain reaction. For example, when you talk about cancellations, it started with one conference. Well, first it started with the NBA. It canceled their league. And then three conferences canceled their tournaments. And it didn't, like I said, it over the course of like 2 hours, the rest of the conferences canceled their tournaments in the, you know, during the day. And then we were done with sports, basically. And then the NHL canceled. And then leagues outside of the USA canceled. And then baseball canceled. So the chain reaction can happen in terms of maybe not necessarily specifically a hardcore lockdown, but a reduction in gatherings. And it just starts with someone's got to take a lead on that. And I think we're getting there. San Francisco, number one, case number one. The goal here with all these cities is to just don't be Italy. And Italy just got a raw deal. I got to be honest. I mean, we can kill Italy if we want. There's certainly reason to kill them. But they also got blindsided by this. They didn't have all this information beforehand like we do, like other countries do. They were hit with it very early. So that's why they didn't really have the chance to respond. And they're having the worst time of it. So we can learn from that. And I think we can do better.
Yeah, that's what we don't want. We don't want to be Italy.
I feel terrible for Italy. I know many of my friends, maybe even you, have ties to Italy. And it sucks. I don't like seeing that.
And that's what that's what we really want to avoid is getting, everything I've read, late last week was that we were 2 weeks behind Italy. Based off the numbers, we're 2 weeks behind Italy. And I don't know if it's true, but I had read something yesterday that said Rome alone had over 300 deaths yesterday. And that's, we can't have that here, Dave. Italy, they didn't take the precautions early on. They treated it loosey-goosey. They let people fly in and out, come, do this, do that. And I'm afraid because that's how we were up until, like you said, maybe, less than a week ago. So another scary thing is I've read Donovan Mitchell, what he said, and the guy from The Wire, he's in a lot of stuff. He was Charles Minor in The Office. He was Stringer Bell of The Wire. I can't think of his actor name right now, which is bothering me, but he tested positive as well. And both Donovan Mitchell and him said they had no symptoms. So that's even scarier that people could be walking around with it and they don't even know it. And, I hope it comes to a point where we have enough testing where if you want to take a test, you go and either get one, wherever, and just to make sure you're good. You know what I mean? Because if there are people walking around with no symptoms, that could be deadly.
Yeah, that is the scariest part about the coronavirus outbreak that I can think of, is that the spreader can happen and exhibit no symptoms at all. So there's absolutely no way for us to know. And I think that's why the urgency has increased in recent days, because we know that now. You can spread it even if you're not sick.
Yep.
And nobody would know.
Nobody would know. And I read something, I forget what country it was in, but one person was responsible for 1,000 1,000 infections.
Wow, where is this?
I forget. I want to say Hong Kong, but I could be wrong.
Ooh.
I think it was Hong Kong or Korea, one of those countries. But I read that one person was responsible because he didn't know he had it. And he was like this big wig of this company that interfaced with hundreds of people every day.
Yeah.
And he was responsible for, they said, almost 1,000 people getting it. And that's what you're trying to avoid here. That's what you're trying to avoid when, I pass by a bar on Saturday night and there's a line outside of it. And it's like, what are you guys thinking? And that's, like I said, I take it back to people not taking it serious. And I think part of that is for the people who are in charge. And then not until recently did the media really ramp it up. Because even when the media started, really making a big deal of it, the people in charge were saying, oh, it's not a big deal. It's them trying to, take down our president and them trying to throw dirt on him for his reelection. When in reality, I would rather overreact than underreact in this kind of situation. And, that's what we have to do now. Throw politics out the window. This is about people's safety and their health. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think you got to let go of your personal grievances or your personal, interests, because this is a bigger thing. This is bigger than all of us. And I think it's well said. Cap, one more thing before we go tonight. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do during these next few weeks? There's no sports. Can't really leave the house much.
that is a great, it's a great question. I think I'll be spending a lot of time on, YouTube and Netflix and my Amazon Prime and things like that. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm able to still exercise. We'll see how that goes over the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I'm able to do some things with work. I'm working from home now for the foreseeable future. Hopefully I'm able to do some things with that during the day to kind of preoccupy me. But, you know, without sports, without work, without gym, that was, you know, a big part of my life, my everyday life. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. There's only so much Netflix you can watch, only so much, you know, YouTube you can watch. And I, you know, my favorite thing to relax and to kind of, you know, forget about stress of work or everyday life was to get lost in like a Netflix series where I can binge watch a couple episodes and just kind of focus on that and just get lost in everything. And, you know, I still like to do that today, but there, I mean, over the past, you know, last weekend, I pretty much watched one series. I've been binge watching Homeland because I stopped watching it, you know, after like the third or fourth season, and then I picked it up again. So I've been binge watching that. I only have one episode left of that. So I don't know what I'm going to do, Dave. It's going to be interesting because we are going to be pretty much inside for the next couple weeks. And I don't know. What about you? What do you think you're going
to
do?
Well, I think it's finally that opportunity that I've been waiting for a while to catch up on movies. So I'm going to do a lot of that in the next few days, at least, and probably for weeks. I can get on my YouTube subscriptions and watch those channels. The nice thing about that is I think those channels don't get impacted by something like this because they usually prepare an episode over a month, and you don't need a big old staff to do that, so that's probably an option too. But just to shorten the answer somewhat, it was that, but then, as you said, I think even the movies and the TV shows will only go so far. You kind of get a little tired of that. Ultimately, it's that plus what I'm doing right now. I think these shows have actually motivated me to find something, you know, something to get me through this and get everybody else through this too. So I'm really happy to get the response from everyone else as far as getting on the program to offer some ideas for topics. And you have definitely been a great helper in this regard. So I will try to exercise. I don't know if I'm allowed to run outside, but the problem is it's been raining in LA for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's like, well, now what? I guess I'm just going to have to sit here and eat like chicken and...
Yeah. And that's another thing. My diet's going to go to shit, man. Yeah. I got, you know, because you want to have stuff that'll last. So, you know, I got a lot of frozen foods, you know, some snacks and, you know, things like that. So my diet's going to go to shit, but it's going to be tough, man. You know, whether, you know, for me, I always have something going on. I'm always, you know, on the move, whether it's going out, you know, going out at night, going to, you know, different parties, things like that. And that's can all come to an end for at least probably a month until, you know, this thing starts to turn around. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for a lot of people. I just don't, you know, I like to be busy, you know, even with work, I have a lot that I want to accomplish and a lot that I want to do. And I just don't know when we'll be able to get back to that.
Right on. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Cap. I'm glad to hear from you again. It's been a little bit of a while. Good luck to your new show. And hopefully some podcasts to come. You know, there's something you could do to fill that gap.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Yankee memories, like reflect on like specific series or specific days or something like that, and get somebody on to talk about that. Someone who was at the game. That'd be fun.
I do have some ideas like that. And I also have one that I think would be a lot of fun to do too. And that's, you know, basically it's a topic that whenever it gets brought up in my group chats, gets a lot of traction. And that's, you know, your favorite baseball video game growing up, because, you know, growing up you get attached to some video games and it reminds you whether it's your childhood or a period of your life. And, you know, I know mine is Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball. That is my all-time favorite game. I actually found an arcade thing on my computer where I can play it, and I've been hooked playing that in my free time. So I want to do something like that, you know, get some people on and talk about their favorite baseball games, debate and kind of go down memory lane. And the same, yeah, like you said, you know, different you know, Yankee memories and things like that. And I would like to get, you know, hopefully I can get you and Ari on the show as well. And that could be something that could take up some time too, as long as, you know, I'm able to find the content that people like. Because I can go on there, you know, every day and talk, you know, baseball, talk, you know, what could be, what was before. I could do it, but I don't want to put out stuff that the audience doesn't want to hear. I want to put out things that are maybe more relevant, things that maybe people could relate to. And like you said, with the Yankee memories is a great idea, because a lot of the Yankee fans can say, oh, I remember that day, or I was here, I was there. So I think that's a really good idea.
Are there any anniversaries coming up for the Yankees this year? It's 2020, so it's 25 years since that big ALDS against Seattle. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that ended, you know, pretty shitty. Yeah, but no, that know, was the, but that was the start of what we had coming in 96 and after. So, you know, I don't think there was going to be anything significant this year. Obviously, the big thing was Derek Jeter was going to go into the Hall of Fame, which who knows what they're going to do in Cooperstown now, depending on what's going on with the virus. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to do a whole show on that, you know, favorite Derek Jeter memories, like a countdown of, you know, and everybody's memories could be different. Like, you know, Jeter had some really great memories, but up there for me was his last game because I was able and fortunate, thanks to Lou, to get two tickets and I was able to take my father. And that's a memory that I'll always have with him and being in that game and talking about that game for the next pretty much month with him. And that is up on my list because it's personal to me. You know, whereas somebody might say, no, Mr. November was my favorite moment or this was my favorite moment. So I wanted to do stuff like that. It's just with this whole hiatus, I'm hoping I can come up. I mean, I have ideas. I'm just hoping that the audience is responsive to it.
Yeah, best of luck to that. I mean, hopefully a topic that sticks in the middle of that. Hopefully they enjoy your podcast either way. And so I wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate it. And we'll get you on the show too, you know, hopefully sooner than later. And if you guys, you know, like what you heard here, you know, follow me over at the LGY podcast. So, Dave, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun. It was a really nice distraction. Today was a very extremely difficult day with, you know, everybody starting to work from home and a lot of our deals are now on hold and some other things. So this was a nice distraction. I appreciate you bringing me on.
Oh, I understand. It's a difficult time for a lot of us. So I'm glad to help. And Jared, I appreciate you as well. Thank you so much for coming on. And best wishes the rest of the way. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, buddy. Stay safe, you and your family.
Thanks, you too. All right, take care. Best of Jeets. Yeah, Jeets. Yeah, Jeets.
Thanks, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Bye. That's Jared Piscataway from Piscataway. And that's our program tonight. Good times. Hope you enjoyed that. More to come in our A to Z podcast anthology. Next episode is C. We'll review what the C is when we get that thing posted. Hope you enjoyed it. We're at DickCow.com, on the Twitter at DickCow, and you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Dave in the City Out West. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.